Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you. Tennessee falls to Georgia on Saturday, their second loss of the season. College football playoff rankings out tonight, so that one's going to be interesting to see where Tennessee ends up at that. To help us talk more about that, we go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Adam Sparks from the Knoxville News Sentinel. Adam, good morning. How are you?
Not bad, guys. Looking forward to must-see TV tonight. I think at about 7:13 Eastern tonight, there'll be a lot of Tennessee fans that will see Tennessee ranked like 10th or 11th for about 3 seconds after that. They'll assume that means they're in the bracket.
Right.
Then they'll realize they're not, and then they'll start tweeting angry things about how the format of the playoff that they were not previously aware of, or that they liked a couple weeks ago when, you know, they were going to play like Boise or BYU or somebody like that. But now they're going to have a problem with it. I predict that'll happen about 13 minutes after the hour tonight.
That be happening within your own living room?
I think it already happened. Joe, you know that Bev, my wife, UT fan, was with us in the press box after the game late the other night, in the stands during the game, obviously. And Joe, you know that she was ready to jump off the top step of the stadium. It's funny, though, on the drive home from Georgia the next day, she turned on a lot of podcasts. National college football analysts, such as yourself, and heard these things, and suddenly the sun came up, and paths back into the playoff or into the playoffs suddenly opened up. I think there was a lot of Tennessee fans that thought the world ended, and suddenly looked at some of the math and decided maybe it wasn't the end after all.
I mean, Robbie, there's people like trying to work, and I'm like, almost yelling, trying to like calm Bev. Like, Bev, you guys can still make the playoff. I'm telling you, you got a chance, Bev.
I think, Joe, on the walk back to the car, I uttered the sentence, but Pat Forty thinks you're in.
I think Bev and I were of similar mind on Saturday night. Similar mind, no doubt. So, Adam, what do you think this does do for Tennessee? I mean, obviously, right now it's a mess in the SEC. You got a lot of teams with two losses. You could have more with two losses by the end of this thing here. So what do you think, with the resume not being totally complete yet? Tennessee still has UTEP and then a big one with Vanderbilt here in town. But assuming they get to 10-2, what do you think this all means for the Vols?
Well, I mean, it's going to be viewed as complete success or complete failure based on if they're in the playoff as the last team in, or in the Rely Quest Bowl in Tampa, and the same record would get you either places. That's going to be the frustrating part. I mean, you know, what we all know, the different games that could decide this: Notre Dame, Army, Notre Dame, USC, Florida, Ole Miss. A lot of weird things with the Texas schools. You know, there's a few games. They need one break. That's the thing that I think Tennessee fans need to understand. There's like 10 things that could happen. Well, Indiana getting blown out obviously would be one of those. There's about 10 things that could happen that would help Tennessee. They need one of those. They don't need 10. They need one of them to happen. And so I you know, they may be in the bracket tonight. They may be in there tonight, and you know, that'll calm people down a little bit too. So I don't think the chances are terrible that Tennessee gets in. But they're, you know, if they can beat Vanderbilt, they'll finish 10-2. And whether or not a committee decides they're in or not, well, you know, that'll be it. There's obviously a lot of reasons for frustration, even aside from the Georgia game. But Texas's resume, it's, you know, the committee has put Texas so high without a quality win or without a signature win. And it's almost like they can't go back. Like, what do? You drop them to 10 in 1 week because you know, reviewed the answers on the test from last week. That's just not going to happen. I think something that is frustrating on Tennessee side is that they're not passing the eye test. Now, they've been great on defense up to this game. Was not good in this game for a number of reasons. but they're not passing the eye test, and they would have passed the eye test in pretty much any other season, and that's an offense. You've heard week after week Ward Manuel say, you know, the offense just – Tennessee's offense is not coming around. They had a bad first half or bad second half or whatever. Any offense, even really some of the offense from last year, but especially the 2 years before that, if you have something like that on film, the committee members would look at it and say, oh, this is an explosive team that's getting better because of its offense. But it doesn't have that, and I think we've all kind of accepted the fact that it's never going to be that this season. And I think that's the frustrating thing, that what could keep Tennessee out is not passing the eye test in the way that Josh Heupel's offenses used to pass the eye test just by rolling out of bed and scoring 40.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I mean, there's a lot to this. Obviously, there's a lot of subjectivity. But you hit on the thing that just surprised me so much, Adam, the other night, is, you know, the fact that Tennessee could not get to Carson Beck. I think they, you know, the Vols typically are comfortable with a four-man pass rush, and it usually does plenty for them. Georgia had just been caved in by Ole Miss a week earlier. How do you explain what happened to the Tennessee defense? Carson Beck has that one kind of pinball 38-yard completion, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden, from there, it's like he's the best. He's a Heisman-winning first-round pick against them.
I think there was some stubbornness with Tennessee's coaching staff. If that game happens earlier in the season, Tennessee looks at it and says, okay, our D-line is not getting there, rushing four, rushing five. We're going to have to bring some pressure, which Tim Banks loves to do. He loves to blitz. But because this game happens so late in the season, so many times they've won this year just rushing four or five. And so they kept telling themselves, well, get to the third quarter, get to the fourth quarter. Our defensive line depth will win out. The attrition will win out. And because they had seen it so many times this year, and, you know, they got to the end of the third quarter and said, huh, this hasn't worn down Georgia yet. It hasn't worked yet. And it just never did. And they just would never, I think, accept the fact that they were not going to win it up front that night, and they had to bring pressure. And if they were ever going to decide that, it was too late. It's similar to some games against Georgia, you know, a couple years ago on the offensive side. They did something so well for so long, they just believed that it would work against any opponent. And like a couple years ago, you know, they spread everybody out, and they throw it around, Hendon Hooker and Jalen Hyatt, Cedric Tillman, and all those. And you spread them out, and you score a bunch of points. And 2 years ago, they couldn't accept the fact that when they would spread Georgia out, Georgia was better in one-on-one situations spread out on islands. And they would never – you know, accept that and do something different offensively. 2 years ago, they would never accept that they were getting beat defensively this year and change things up. They were just too slow, too stubborn.
So, Adam, a lot of Tennessee fans upset with the officiating in that game. Josh Heupel took the microphone and conducted a very impressive interview with you after the game as well. What did you make of the officiating and Heupel's response in the post-game press conference?
Yeah, I mean, it was a very questionable call, which is how I posed the question. A couple calls on that one drive, especially. The face mask is weird, but, you know, also two guys are on a guy, or grab at his helmet, and the helmet comes off. You can kind of understand why that one was called. The illegal substitution, 12 men on the field, that was weird because it was inconsistent. All season, that's been allowed to – when the offense subs late in the play clock, you can sort of jog it off and force a delay a game or timeout. Suddenly this game, it was inconsistent. And they said, no, we're going to speed it up this game. So that's what Tennessee was mad at. Well, it was called one way all season, then called a different way in that game. Josh Heupel obviously doesn't want to get fined by the SEC. He's done different like tactics to get his message across. Last year after the Alabama and Kentucky games, it was the silent protest. You would ask him a question and he would just stand there for like 20 seconds and then say next question. So I guess this time, here's the thing, and Joe knows, this was a little easier for him to do it this time because he's the road team. He's sitting at a table. He's not at a podium. He's sitting at a table and I'm literally like 3 feet from the table.
Right.
So he could just sort of scoot it over, scoot the mic over and turn it.
He almost grabbed you and gave you a noogie and said, "Tell them they cheated us, Adam."
Tell Greg Sankey. Yeah, so that was just the latest thing he did. He didn't double down on it in Monday's press conference for obvious reasons.
Good
it
for
looks
him.
Whiny when it looks whiny when you lose by two scores and you're complaining about officiating. Now I understand it. If that drive doesn't go like it does, the game was tied at that point. So you can understand in the moment, but you know he's moved on since then. He's not going to win that battle. That's for sure.
No, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it too. But like, you know, so if you don't call face mask, they have a 3rd and 8. Well, 3 plays later, they had a 3rd and 9. You're welcome to stop them and get off the field, but you know you didn't. So, but yeah, I get it. I mean, the delay thing was. I agree. That whole thing is weird. You know, the jog off, and they have been inconsistent with that.
Well, Joe, if you remember, that was like the turn the mic over to me thing was like one of like 7 weird things in that press conference. I mean,
yes.
A catering lady's phone playing the Georgia fight song
over and over.
At full blast volume. And it, I mean, immediately I knew as an elderly woman, and I don't mean that in a disparaging way, but I've been in enough church building auditoriums and hearing something blasting from somebody's phone over and over during a sermon and be like, that's an old lady that didn't know how to turn her phone off. That was the immediate,
that's awesome.
That's immediately what I thought it was. It was. And then one of the TV guys, one of our local TV guys asking the opening question as a statement to Josh Heupel, I thought was good.
I thought that they really protected well. Yep.
Yep, they absolutely did. And then Jackson Moy, the defensive tackle, who was called on the illegal substitution, coming in and sort of threatening people that aren't there. If you think I'm lazy not getting off the field, then we can go outside and talk about that or
that
however
was,
it is he said.
So that had to have been Twitter, right?
Yeah, that's a player getting to the locker room, picking up his phone and seeing a whole lot of notifications by angry, possibly inebriated Tennessee fans not understanding what the tactic was there.
Yeah, good old Vol Twitter. Mm-hmm. All right, so what can Tennessee do, Adam? I mean, look, there's 2 games, and one of them is just just name your score game coming up Saturday. What can they do, do you think, in the next game? You know, do you feel like they need to try to, you know, blow out Vanderbilt? And what do they need to – if there's one thing that they can be better at, what would be the thing?
Yeah, I mean, nothing will happen in the UTEP game would help them. It would only hurt them if it was not a complete blowout. Vandy, yeah, if they could beat Vandy by a large margin, then that could help them. It's really just about winning those games. So much of what's going to have to happen for Tennessee is going to happen in games that's not involving yet. They just got to have a break, go their way in one of these other games. I mean, I don't know that how much is fixable because Nico was getting better. Nico has gone through the progression of a young quarterback. He was good against bad competition, then got overconfident, and then dialed it back. And, after making some bad decisions, dialed it back, became more conservative, protected the ball. And now he's been good. He's been accurate. And he needs to take the next step, but he doesn't have the personnel at wide receiver to sort of get past that where he is now. And I don't. That personnel is not going to change this year unless they want to try something with Mike Matthews. And, you know, they've played him, but maybe play him more. Maybe that's a chance of doing that this week. I don't know. People in Knoxville really, really want Boo Carter to play wide receiver. That's a pretty popular opinion in the fan base out here. But you've got a 5-star wide receiver who's not playing in Boo Carter's class. So I think they're going to play that guy before they're going to move your starting defensive back over to offense.
Who's a pretty good defensive back, by the way.
But that's how frustrated people are with not having any dynamic element in the wide receiving core.
Yep, no doubt about it. Adam, great stuff as always, man. Really appreciate you taking time to be with us. And enjoy the next couple of weeks here. There's going to be a lot of yelling, I would imagine.
I think so, guys.
Tell Wes to calm down, please.
Adam Sparks, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. The Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.